Yes, it does. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed church here over the weekend? I'm telling you, it was camp meeting again, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. We're just so excited about what God has made us part of. Now, He didn't have to make us part of nothing, but I'm so glad that He did. I'm so glad to be part of what God's doing in the earth today. Are you glad to be part of it? Are you glad He included you? Are you glad you was painted into the picture? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him a real good hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord.
The moment He saved me, with good grace He gave me, He placed His love down deep in my heart.
Yes, He did. Yes, He did.
There's great joy in knowing with Him I am growing.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated for just a little bit tonight while we look at our prayer request. We've got several we want to let you know about tonight. As most of you have heard probably, Brother Pinky, Sister Phyllis, Phillip's daughter Michelle passed away, I guess last night, maybe early this morning. And we certainly want to pray for the Phillips family that the Lord would just be mindful of them and put His arms around them and comfort them during this time in the loss of their daughter. The service will be at 7 p.m. at Memorial Funeral Chapel up in Elizabethton. Visitation will be from 5:30 until 7, and the service will begin at 7 o'clock. So if you could go to that service on Friday night, I know we would comfort that family to see you there. Also, the burial will be at down in Telford. I don't exactly have the address yet, but we will get it for you. It'll be posted. Maybe Brother Jimmy could post it on the church website, or somewhere or another you'll be able to find out. If you want to go to the burial, you can meet at Memorial at 9:30 Saturday morning. So that way you would not have any problems finding the cemetery. But let's pray for those folks, that God just keep them in His arms of love during this time. Sister Cheryl Ward says to please pray for my uncle J.B. Moel. He has pancreatic cancer, which has spread to his liver and lungs. He started chemo today, so we certainly want to pray for that need, that the Lord would be mindful. Brother Darrell sends this in. Tim Schultz called and asked prayer for his wife, Joanne Schultz. She is suffering with her feet and unable to walk on them. She needs a touch from the Lord. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of that lady. I want to pray for our good friend, Wallace Keene. He will be having surgery for cancer on Thursday. Brother Matt Carter sends that in. So let's remember that request tonight. Desiring prayer for a couple. Sister Sue Anna Altland sends this. Sister Anna Altland sends this in. Fracture in my foot after a fall, and praying for a complete healing. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. We believe God's able to give them that need and fulfill the request. And we just pray that God would do that for them. Brother Fred wants to offer this testimony. The Lord just let him be honored in front of his company that he works for. The place was painted. The people was just overwhelmed by it and just really bragging on it, and didn't know that there's bragging on this guy right here. And he just wants to thank the Lord that God honored him in that way. But most of all, he's so glad that he gets honored to get to come to this house to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. That's the greatest honor we can have, isn't it? Brother Fred, we're proud of you, buddy. God bless you. The man that Brother Jerry Glenn turn in a prayer request for on Sunday. He wants to thank everyone for their prayers. God has healed him, and he went home from the hospital this evening. Somebody say praise the Lord. So we thank God for that. I want to pray for Ellie Parker. She has been sick all day today, so let's remember her. Sister Donna Pistol will be having foot surgery tomorrow, so we want to pray for that need, that the Lord would be mindful. Sister Cook says a patient of mine and Mrs. Parks requests prayer to find an apartment close to her daughter in Johnson City. She's 81 years old, was acquainted with Brother Branham's ministry. When she was young, she can't walk. Her hip bones are bone on bone. She is expecting God to heal her so she can come to the house of the Lord again. God brought us together to help her get back to the Word. We always pray before I leave her house. With God, all things are possible. So let's pray that all those needs would be worked out. That sister will be able to come to the house of the Lord. Brother Keith Phillips says to thank you for praying for my friend's baby. He was born by C-section and is in Vanderbilt Hospital. He will have to have open heart surgery soon. The arteries and veins are backwards, so they're going to do surgery on that little child. So let's remember that need. Brother Randy Walton wants us to remember Brittany Walton. She's still sick, and also Tasha Walton still needs prayer. So let's remember that need tonight. And I believe that's all of our written requests. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. You know what? We're going before the King of Kings right now, just in a minute. And he cares about every one of these needs that I read to you tonight. He cares why you raised your hand. He's a loving Savior. He cares for you. Are you glad about that tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand and sing that little chorus together one more time. It gets sweeter. We have a brother visiting with us tonight, a brother Dean, visiting from Camp Verde, Arizona, pastor of Spoken Word Tabernacle. Where are you at? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. I want you to come and lead us in prayer tonight over these prayer requests, if you do that for me. Well, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Yeah.
One thing for sure, he's always a healer. He'll always be a healer until the day that we're with him. Then there'll be no need for it anymore. Amen. But until then, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes. Amen. Lord God Almighty, we come to you in the most precious name of our Lord and our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our all in all, you who came and found us, Lord God, you who came and raised us up, Lord God, who revealed yourself to us, Lord God, poured yourself into us, Lord God. And now tonight, Lord God, we come tonight, Lord God, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord God, and knowing, Lord God, that you declared in your word, Lord God, that you care, Lord God. You said for us to cast our care upon you, Lord God. So tonight, Lord God, we come before you as a people, Lord God, to place, Lord God, the many cares, Lord God, that have been written in here tonight. And Lord God, the faith, Lord God, of the people that raised their hands and those that wrote it in, believing and knowing, Lord God, that you, Lord God, will come upon the scene, Lord God, that you, Lord God, will manifest yourself, Lord God, that you will show yourself alive, Lord God, because that's what you are. You are the living God that we worship, both in spirit and in truth. Lord God, tonight, Lord God, I thank you for the privilege, Lord God, to be before this people, just to bring these requests to you, Lord God. Bless them mightily in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, let us all have a heart to receive, Lord God, that word of truth tonight. Open up our hearts and our ears, Lord God, to receive all that you'll give to us through your servant, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Let's give our brother a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, Brother Joel is here, Brother Chuck is here, and Brother Harry's here, and we're going to have them do, we're going to sing it with them through the fire. Brothers, if you come onto the platform real quickly, watch them. Chuck, you're younger than that. You can move quicker than that, buddy. Come on. Let's just sing that little chorus again, sweeter as the days go by. All of our visitors tonight, God bless you. We're glad to have you. Those that are streaming the service, may God bless those folks as well. We're honored that they would stream our services. We trust it's a blessing to them. Well, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Brothers and I's hand tonight. Let's help them sing this song, Through the Fire.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. And my frustration gets so out of hand. Well, it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. And as I look at all the victories, Spirit rises up in me. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy
and the hill would not be hard
to climb. He never offered victories without body. Remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, "Give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again."
I know myself that I would surely perish, but if I trust the mighty hand of God, He'll seal the flames again.
He never promised that your cross would not be heavy
and the hill would not be high.
Victories without fighting, but He said it could always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, "Give in, just hold on." Would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but He said He'll put always come in. decision, and the adversary says, give me, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again.
Tonight. God bless you. You can be seated for just a few minutes. We're going to do a song tonight. Brothers are going to play a song off Sister Lindsay Gilruth's new CD. We was going to do this Sunday morning, and we just kind of ran out of time, and the Lord just kind of took over, and I'm not going to apologize for that. But she has a new CD. Brother Larry produced it. It's got some great music on it, Sister Lindsay. Brother Aaron backed her up on some of the songs, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. They have those available in the library if you'd like to pick one of them up after service tonight. But let's do track number 11. Let's do track number 11. I don't know what the name of that song is. Beautiful Messes is the name of this song. So let's listen to it as they play it for you at this time.
Are you spinning in a lie that keeps on telling you that you're not good enough? And when you're looking in the mirror, do you see someone impossible to love? Fragile, broken pieces. We're all rough around the edges. We ain't perfect.
Or that CD will be a blessing to you. I listened to it today and got some good music, good songs. Be an inspiration in your home. Let's stand tonight. We're going to go on into the service. Our pastor's coming to bring us the word of the Lord. And I know we're anticipating what it's going to be. We took quite a journey through the book of Acts, didn't we? How many of you enjoyed it? It was so good. Just so refreshing. Amen. It certainly was. I know the Lord will have something great for us tonight. I don't know which direction Brother Donnie will go, but the Lord always gives us a wonderful, wonderful meal every time we come. Well, it's just camp meetings, all I can tell you. Are you glad you're part of camp meeting? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. Our God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome.
I'm glad we can say that tonight, not just because it's nice words in a song, but because we know it.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to the book of Matthew tonight, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, we'll read down five or six verses here. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist. Some say, some, Elias. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Now, B-A-R means son. So Simon, son of Jonas, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Now he calls him Simon, son of Jonah, and then he says, Thou art Little Rock. Thou art Little Rock. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. Now, you don't think Jesus plays on words sometimes? Little Rock, I'm going to build my church on the big rock. And it wasn't on Peter. No. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, by the help of the Lord, we'd like to speak a few services on the church. Praise the Lord. The church. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. We're so, so grateful to be your children. We thank you tonight, Heavenly Father, that we stand in this line not only of so much apostolic succession, but we stand tonight, Father, having come from the same source that the apostles came from. We are grateful that we are not grandchildren or great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren of God, but we are children born of the same Spirit, have the same access by the same revelation. Father, I pray that as we look into your word tonight, may we be benefited, may we be helped as we feed upon your word. Lord Jesus, may the Son of Man, the body word of the Son of Man, be revealed among us. We don't want to feed on a personality or men's opinions, or we don't want some type of ecclesiastical something. But we need the carcass of the word to be able to feed on. Lord, if we're going to get into a rapture, we have to have the spirit of the rapture. The prophet tells us before the last days can come, people have to be in the spirit of the last days. We can see it happening all around us. They're in the spirit of destruction, the spirit of insanity, the spirit of darkness, the spirit of compromise. The spirit of the last days is rampant everywhere. Well, Lord, that lets us know on the other side that the people that's going to go on the rapture, they've got to be in the spirit of revelation, the spirit of forgiveness, the spirit of harmony, the spirit of the rapture. So, Lord, we're looking to you tonight to help us, Father. Speak to us your word, would you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Maybe to us, when we hear the words, the church, if somebody calls us church, we don't necessarily take that very complimentary. Because we think, now wait a minute, we're bride. And we tend to look at people that are church, and we think the church is going through the tribulation period. And I'm bride. But, you know, when you look at this and the setting of what the Lord Jesus said here, when Jesus said this, upon this rock I will build my church, there was no two churches. This was the original church. So in the setting of the New Testament, up until the book of Revelation, when the church ages is being written. By that time, 96 AD, time has already went past, and many, many decades actually have passed since the falling of the Holy Ghost. And by then, there are two different groups that is being called by the same name, and that is church. But when Jesus says this, upon this rock, I will build
my church. There was no entity that was called a church. There was no group. There was no name. There was no gathering. There was nothing that had been called this thus far. So whenever we look at this and we read it through Acts, through the epistles, through even the four gospels, I want you to keep in mind as we look at this that you don't need to think, well, you know, when we're talking about church, we're talking about this out here. No, that's not even the meaning of the word at all. Now, what makes it difficult is whenever we think of church today, we think, well, the Baptist church, the Methodist church, Church of God, this church, her church. But that's not what Jesus even said at all. Amen. The word church, the word Jesus used, is ecclesia, which is the elect. Now, it has two applications in that it speaks of the mystical body by which we are baptized in, used 114 times in the New Testament, but yet 90 or so of those times is also references to the gathering together of the ecclesia in an assembly to where they gather together. So there's two applications then in the New Testament setting of this word church. So first and foremost, it is the elect of God. So when people say, well, I go to church, I belong to church, I believe in the church, we have to keep in mind that that is not necessarily what Jesus was referring to. Now, today it makes it so difficult for us because we have so many churches and we have so much that is identified as church. But when Jesus said this, there was no church. As a matter of fact, the church is yet to be built. It wasn't even in existence when Jesus used these words. Because Jesus said, upon this rock, I will, which is future tense. So at this time, when Jesus says this in Mark 16, there is no church. But now, you imagine when this word went out of his mouth, Satan now had a clue as to what God was going to do. Now, this word is not a new word. It was a word which was very commonly used in the Greek language. It was used when the Hebrews would translate the Septuagint, which is the Old Testament writings. When they translated that and they used the Greek language to do so, they would have used the very same word that Jesus would have used. And when they would have quoted Deuteronomy 16, Deuteronomy 14, when they would have quoted some of the words of gathering or assembly, they would have used the same Greek word, which would have been a gathering together. So this word was not new to the apostles, but in the way that Jesus was going to use it, it was going to be entirely new. Now, when you and I think about the church today, for every person here tonight that's actually born again, you are a part of two applications of the word church in your own life. In that sense, you are part of the mystical part. Now, that is the unseen, invisible part by which you and I are baptized into the mystical part. And that is those that's born into something by an initiation. A special initiation by a supernatural realm or a supernatural means. In other words, you can't get into it by any natural way. But yet, at the same time, anybody that had physical strength and had enough gas in their car and knew what time we had church tonight, they would be able to pull up on the parking lot, shut their car door, walk in the church, and they could walk in and say, well, I went to church tonight, and I was in church tonight. But it doesn't mean that because they were in church, that they are in the church. Right? Now, they were in the church house and the place where the ecclesia assemble, and this is called the church, but it's much easier to get in this building than it is into the mystical body. Now, this is what people, of course, have substituted, and this is where churchianity has become such a predominant thing, because people go to church and they belong to church and they're part of church, but it don't mean they're part of church. Praise the Lord. Now, it is on the very basis of Jesus' own words that we want to look at this. Now, this is very unusual, of course, and we know that Peter had the correct answer for the question that Jesus asked. Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christos. Thou art the Son of the living God. Peter's response and his confession was not because of some emotional outburst of him responding because he'd seen miracles. It was not, Peter was not actually the first one to call Jesus the Son of God. He was not the first one to even give him great terms that identified his office. But yet it's amazing, because whenever some of these other people said what they did, Jesus never looked at them and told them the Father had given them that revelation. So Peter's response was different than the rest of the people who had said things that was almost identical, but the source Peter got it from was a different source than where they got it from. Now, many times people can respond to the word and they can say very good things, but they're saying it out of an emotional response instead of a revelatory response, which comes from the Father's heart directly to you. Not saying now that it won't be emotional, because if the Father reveals something to you, I figure it's going to be pretty hard for you to keep it without kind of expressing a little bit of emotion about it. So this revelation was not brought on because of Peter's investigating and Peter's studious type of work and Peter doing research into the Greek and the Aramaic and the Hebrew and trying to find Jesus' pedigree and his genealogy. And Peter had studied and studied and studied and studied. My, he was just really, really proud of himself. No, Jesus never said that, but he said, "My Father has give this to you." What was it? So it was a gracious act of Almighty God in His providence that had given Peter this revelation. I hope you can agree with this tonight, that every time you and I have ever received a divine revelation from God, it was the exact same thing. It was the gracious providence of God giving us that revelation. It's not something that even your mother might share with you her revelation, but you cannot give somebody else a revelation. A preacher can stand and preach your revelation, and you sit there and say, "Wow, that's really something, Brother Donnie, man. Yeah, that was really something. I really appreciate that, Brother West. That was really nice." But you know what? It is second-handed because I'm giving it to you. I can't give you a revelation. God has to do it. Now, I want you to notice this, that God had hidden these secret mystery truths from the scribes and the Pharisees, which knew the law. They knew the prophecies. They knew the messianic terms. And no doubt they knew what they thought was the messianic prophecies of how that it was going to be revealed. But yet God bypassed them and chose to reveal it to babes. Babes that could be taught not by theology, but by the Spirit of God. So I want you to notice that whenever Peter begins to, just kind of burst this out. Again, Matthew does not tell us how much of a lapse of time that there was from the time that Jesus said it. Was it silence? So you imagine they're all kind of sitting around and they're talking and maybe they're looking to one another. Because, Jesus could be sharp sometimes. And if you didn't answer him right, he could kind of get on you pretty good. So you imagine that they were a little bit precautious and they're kind of looking at, you, and then you're looking back at me, and I'm looking at Brother Tom, and he's looking over here, and I'm looking at Brother Wes, and are you going to say anything? I'm not saying no. You going to say it, Brother? I'm not saying it. You going to say this? Are you going to say it, Brother? No, you're never saying it. And Peter just kind of blurts it out. Now, you see, Nathaniel, in John chapter 1, verse 49, Nathaniel had already said that Jesus was the Son of God. But yet Jesus never says to Nathanael that upon this rock I will build my church. So it was a compound revelation that Peter received. So what Nathanael said was the truth. The disciples actually declared him to be the Son of God. If you want to write these down. In Matthew 14:33, after he had stilled the storm. Again, Jesus does not respond and say, my Father has showed you this, and upon this rock I will build my church. So wonder what makes this time different. So saying he's the Son of God still does not mean that you have the revelation by which the church is built upon. Now, the revelation by which the church is built upon is a compound revelation that not only contains the deity of Jesus Christ, hang on with me now, but it contains the deity of the Logos by which is imparted into that mystical body of which you are a part of. So this revelation of Peter that he had received from Almighty God, it was not just about the Lord Jesus alone. But God had revealed this unto Peter, which made him a part of the revelation. Now I'm talking about the real church. I'm not talking about those who just go to church and comply to a certain dress code and live a certain way and even act a certain way. But upon this rock I will build my church. Now, you know, Jesus explicitly asked for this answer. To me, it throws it in a little different category itself. Jesus particularly asked, no doubt being led of the Father, the Spirit which had now dwelt in him. And something had now motivated him, so he's pulling out the answer. Who do men say I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias. Some say you're Jeremiah. Others are you're one of the prophets. But that wasn't what I said. You know what? I want to come right down. What do you all say? Who do you think that I am? Now, this gives the Spirit of God the proper time and setting by which the revelation upon which this New Testament church is going to be built. Now, it was not built on Peter, and it was not going to be built on Jesus in the sense of Jesus is the cornerstone, we know, but it is going to be built upon the revelation of who Jesus was. Now, look, friends, in the day that we're living, whenever the majority of Christendom around the world, all of them believe in Jesus. All of them believe he's the Son of God. Most of them have no problem saying he's the Son of God. Most of them have no problem saying he died on the cross. Most of them say raised from the dead. His blood cleansed them. His blood saved them. So, you know, just to confess that alone, if that is what puts you in the church, then the majority of Christendom out here is in the mystical body. Then you and I are wasting our time by dressing the way we do, living the way we do. If we're all in just because we believe of the blood of the Lord Jesus, then there's no need for me to study the way I do. No need for message preachers to lay on the word the way they do, because there's no difference. Because if everybody out here is going in the rapture, then my goodness, I'm just kind of wasting my time. But you know what? I don't believe I am wasting my time, because it's not what Christ was 2,000 years ago. It's what he is now. And where he is now, that will bring the revelation of the rapture to the bride. And you know, the bride is waiting for that revelation. So when she finds her place in the Word. Now, it must have rejoiced Jesus' heart whenever Peter responds in such a way. I imagine that he feels the same way about you and I. Whenever he opens up our hearts and he makes something known to us by revelation, and he just really opens a scripture, maybe a book that you've read over and over again, Christ the mystery of God, you know, God in simplicity, whatever it is, and you read it and read it and read it, and then one day you pick it up and it's like you've never read it before in your life. And it's your time. God now is seasoning you, and this is your time with that book. This is your time with that tape. And you're getting one thing after another. You think, Lord, have mercy. Where in the world have I been all of my life? But yet God is giving you that special time. And this is the church. Upon this rock, I will build my church. So the Lord knew now that Peter can be led into more truths. Now, no doubt he had seen Jesus do things, and he knew that Jesus was different than anybody had ever seen in his life. He already had an understanding by that, but that alone would not be able to prepare him for further revelation of the truth. But it was actually a divine revelation that God built upon this rock. Now, this is the beginning of the church. This is when the church is now focusing in the channel of divine God Almighty, being able to reveal to a human being, not a prophet now, but a human being that doesn't have the ability to break into the fourth dimension and see vision. Old Testament prophets were able to do that. But here in the New Testament, we have a now man which is not a prophet in the sense of seeing vision, but yet God drops something so real into his heart. It contains the very mystery which was hid in God's mind before the foundation of the world. Where in the world did Peter get this? He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, Jesus, I want you to notice the setting of this now. Jesus takes the disciples and they go up to, as the scripture said there, in the region of Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi. Now, this is 120 miles from Jerusalem. It's in the northern part of Palestine. It was a region which was greatly affected by religion. It was a region of Palestine which had been greatly affected by different types of religion. Now, there had been the center for Baal, which still had a place of worship there. Also, the Greek god Pan, P-A-N, had shrines there that was worshipped. And Herod the Great had built a temple there in honor of Caesar Augustus. Isn't it amazing that Jesus takes them right in the very center of all these churches, so-called, all these places of worship, and then Jesus brings them right there in the middle of the church ages. In the middle of all this theology, in the middle of all this worship, and then Jesus sets them right down, and maybe the temple of Pan is over there, and Caesar Augustus' temple is over here, and Jesus just kind of brings them out to where all that's in. He just brings them down and sets them down. They're just kind of looking around and say, wow, ain't this something? I want you to look at this. And then Jesus looks at them and said, now, who do men say I am? This one's for Caesar, this one's for Pan, this one's for so and so and so and so. All right, here's the temple of God set right in the middle of all this mess. Now I want you to tell me, who do men say that I am? Oh, glory to God, who do men say that I am? Now he could have asked this question down in Bethlehem. He could have asked it in Jerusalem and Bethphage. He could have asked it wherever he wanted, but he brings them right up here. I'll tell you, friends, I appreciate so much. I know it's awful, the darkness that we live in every day of our life. But in the midst, whenever there are temples everywhere and idolatry everywhere, and the Lord is asking you, who do you say that I am? Amen. The people out here in the world can say, well, he's the second person of the Godhead. He's lower than God. He's not God. Some of the poor heathens in the message are now saying he's not even God. But that ain't really the question. Who do you say he is? Who do you say? Do you say that he ain't got no power? Do you say he's dead and he ain't alive? Ask me, Lord. Ask me who you are. I'll say you're the Alpha. You're the Omega. You're the beginning. You're the end. You're the first. You're the last. There's no God like you. You're an awesome God. You're an everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Notice this in verse 18. And I say also unto thee, thou art little rock, Petra. And upon this rock, that's the same English word, but in the Greek it's not the same word at all. Upon this rock, I will build my church. The rock was the revelation of who Jesus was. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Notice the builder. The builder ain't Peter. The builder ain't the pastor. Come on now. The builder ain't Brother Branham. Well, praise God. The builder is not deacons and trustees. The builder, I want you to notice, the builder in the first person said, I will build my church. If I'm building it, we're in a mess. If some men are building it, we're in a mess. But we are not the builders of the church of the living God. Men have built kingdoms. I agree with that. And men have built followings. That's true. But in time, they all fade away. If I build a kingdom in this world, when I die or something comes along, that kingdom will fade away. But the church of the living God goes right on. Show me every kingdom that has been built around the gospel of Jesus Christ and those men that have come and built that kingdom and lived their life. It might have went on to a second generation, possibly a third, but in time it will be gone and it'll be nothing but a historical figure. But the church of the living God goes on and on and on and on. It will never die. The church will live on and on. Why? Because the builder said so. Oh, praise the Lord. I will build. Glory. Notice now, so future. I will build my church. Future tense. Now you imagine, Brother Terry, the devil listening now with such intent, oh, alertness, that, oh, my church, an ecclesia called out. So this is what he's going to do. He's going to start having people to follow him some way. Are they going to gather? Are they going to, it's not going to be like the temple no more. So he's not here to build a kingdom then, no. He's not here to build a natural kingdom. He's here to build a mystical one. So they had in their mind he's going to build a kingdom. They said, no, boys, I'm not here to build a kingdom. I'm here to build a church. And they're saying, build a church, an ecclesia, a called out, a congregation. How are you going to build a church? Notice in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Boy, that ought to make us happy. You are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Praise be to God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. 1 Peter 2:6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner. Amen. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. Look, friend, can't you see why we need a revelation? We can hear the Logos, hear the Logos, hear the Logos, and we will stumble over the very cornerstone itself. So instead of us being built on top of the cornerstone by the cement of divine revelation, we'll come right up to it. And we'll say, no, that ain't what my mama said. No, 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 my daddy don't believe it that way. And instead of being laid right on top of that stone, we'll come up to that stone and it will cause us to stumble and fall. Don't you see why you need revelation? Oh, Brother Donnie, do we need it? Every day of your life you need it. Listen to tapes, read your Bible, read the books of the prophet's message, but don't just think you'll get it just by hearing a tape alone. God needs to quicken that tape to your heart. All glory. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my ecclesia. Assembly. A gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place. So for those of you who felt like you'd be just as good a Christian in this home as you can without going to church, the meaning of this word says you cannot. Oh my, well, I don't need to go to church. Well, according to Jesus, you do. A gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place, an assembly of Christians gathered for worship in a religious meeting. Now, we're not gathered here tonight to see one another's tire, one another's shirt, or your sister's dress. We're not here for a social visit. We have been gathered in this place for a religious meeting. Matter of fact, I'm feeling pretty religious right now. We have been called out of our homes. You cut off work, and maybe you didn't even have time to eat a good supper, and you went home and took a quick shower. Some of you kids come home from your lessons and whatever more, and you know what? You felt an urgency or a need or a pull to come together. What was it? It's that corresponding part in your soul of what Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." Your mystical part wants together with the natural part, so you bring it together to come to the house of God. So the literal meaning is a called out assembly. The word is used 114 times in the New Testament. Of these 90 references of this, as I said, is a local assembly which is going to be in view. Now, this is the first use of this in the New Testament. Do you imagine now as the apostles are trying to absorb all this, and Peter himself, like with us, Peter did not, he wasn't praying so much for the revelation. We don't find him laboring over it, but God just dropped it in his heart. He may have even marveled whenever he said it himself. You've been like that, haven't you? When something just come and it wasn't you. So Jesus now, as he responds back, and he said, "Peter, that is exactly right. And upon this rock, this deposit from my Father," he didn't even see it probably. Peter never even saw it come down. The rest of the apostles never saw it come down, but it came down. It came down. Where did it come from? Heaven. Here is the revelation stone that he's going to build the church on. What was it? Revelation of who he was. Oh, praise God. He's not just building a local assembly. He's building a mystical body, a universal church. Amen. So the Greek translation of this word was also used in the Old Testament to describe the congregation of Israel when they gathered together. Watch in Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 10. "And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you on the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the ecclesia." Now, when the Greeks would have taken the Septuagint or the Old Testament and they would have translated this word assembly, the Greek word would have been ecclesia. So the disciples were very, very much aware of this word. But Jesus is now applying it in a way that Moses never applied it. Praise the Lord. That's why when I say I'm church, and these people out here say they're church, we ain't talking about the same thing. Praise the Lord. Don't get mad at me now because I'm going to call you church some. Right? Oh, but Brother Don, wait a minute. Now, Brother Bram said in the seal, "I no longer call you church." That's right. This church. He's calling you this church. The original church. Now, Jesus could have said, "Upon this rock I'll build my bride." But Jesus chose to use the word church. So it's a good word. Only reason you don't like it is because you got your meaning all mixed up in your head. Praise the Lord. If Jesus can call me this church, I'll have a spell. I'm ecclesia. I'm called out. Amen. Deuteronomy 16:8. 6 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly, which again would have been the ecclesia. So it is a solemn assembly to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein. Deuteronomy 18:16. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, again the same word, Psalms 26:12. My foot standeth in an even place in the congregation's place. Well, I bless the Lord. So the apostles were very, very accommodating or very used to this word. And notice whenever the great preacher, deacon preacher began to preach and got him killed over to this great mighty sermon. Whenever he preached this in Acts chapter 7 verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai. And remember, Stephen preached this great fiery sermon. Now here he refers to the children of Israel as being the church and the wilderness. You remember Brother Bam preached a sermon got entitled that, A Church in the Wilderness, 1948. Very good sermon if you haven't heard it in a while. So here Stephen is now showing that it was a prefigure of what God was going to do. They were called out of Egypt and they were gathered together in an assembly. But the word church to them is not going to be the same as to us. Because all of them gathered and there wasn't none of them born again. All of them gathered and they sung, they shouted, they were baptized into the cloud and into the sea, and wasn't one of them had the Holy Ghost. So Jesus is introducing something totally brand new. So when Jesus said church, they wouldn't have been sitting there thinking, well, some of y'all thinking, now wait a minute, I'm bribing. Now, brother, don't you go call me church now. Whenever he called them church, it was such a compliment because it was something. Well, why do you do this? It's because you passed all these buildings out here with this name on it. First Methodist, Second Methodist, the Fourth Street Presbyterian, United Methodist, Pentecostal Holiness. But that's not what he said. I'm what he said. Glory. So Jesus is going to make a new man, a new creation, by joining Jew and Gentile. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Oh my. But let's not stop there. I love verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were, oh my, thank you Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made, man, who hath made both one. Notice, Jew and Gentile. He hath made them one, and he broke down the middle wall of partition to create a new man, the beginning of a new race. So it is no longer Jew or no longer Gentile. It is a new man, the Christ man. Amen. It is the church. Upon this rock I'll build this new man. Hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished. Lord, children, can you imagine how mad the devil must have been down in hell when he realized this? Can you imagine how he must have felt when he realized he just helped God carry out his own annihilation? When he finally realized what the crucifixion done, and he was the very one that helped carry it out. Oh, hallelujah. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Praise God. Praise God. Now, that's why I say whether we're black, white, red, yellow, Jew, Gentile, Greek, Gothic, or Celtic, whatever you are, in Christ Jesus, we don't stand while the Jew is closer to God. You know, it amazes me. You hear it on Fox News, you hear it on CNN, and you'll hear them as they refer to the Jews, and they call them the chosen people. I heard one of them say the other day on the news, they said, well, you Jews are the chosen people. I said, hey, wait a minute, sir. I'm chosen too. But what is it? Old Testament perception of them looking at the Jews as if the only chosen are the Jews. And I ain't the chosen frozen neither. Oh no, I'm part of the ecclesia. I'm on fire. Amen. Sure, God chose the Jews, but God chose the bride before he chose the Jews. Oh my. Notice this, and believers that are in the church then would meet in a local assembly, which they would later call the church. But everybody that went to church wasn't the church. And no doubt there were some people that lived far, far away and they couldn't be in church, but they was the church. And some of them couldn't actually meet in a gathering, so they would actually meet in their house and have the preachers come by and preach in their house. Praise the Lord. No, they didn't stand up and read Paul's books. They preached. That's the church Jesus built. Message folks have made another kind, but Jesus never built that church. Now notice, they would belong to the universal church or the mystical body. And they would be a temple. Watch this in the letters in church age. He is now standing in the midst of the church as he stands there revealing who he is in this last age. He calls himself the author of the creation of God. This is another creation. This has to do with what? The church. The church world? No. The church. The ecclesia. This has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. So what are you? You are the church. You are called out. But you've got to be church before you can move into the position of bride. Don't let it confuse you. Church is what? A called out people. So you've got to be called out into him. Then you move into your bride position. Just as he is son of man, son of God, son of David. You are the ecclesia church. You are the bride. You are his love. You are his dove. You are his undefiled. You are many things. Notice this. Let's skip down a little bit. He was the son of God. He was of the new creation. Man and God met and joined. He was the first of this new race. Amen. He is the head of this new race. Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body, the church. Notice Paul uses this same word, the church. The church. But he ain't talking about this out here. This wasn't here when they wrote that. And this will be here when that ain't here. So this will outweigh that. That's man-made. This is God sent. There's a difference. But what, can't you see what Satan done? This is why he done it this way. So what's he do, Brother Dale? God, he uses the very terms of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And Satan said, wonderful, wonderful, that's great. Thank you for giving me that word. Then I will build me a church as well. And I will call it not Satan worship, and we'll not have a pentagram drawn on the floor and goat blood and, you know, abracadabra, abracadoo, none of that sort of stuff. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll call mine the same thing you call yours. I'll call mine church. I'll even give them good titles. I'll call them Church of God. And some of them I'll call them after John, the man who baptized you, the Baptist. And I'll call some of them Episcopalian, because that is a Greek word used in the New Testament, one to define the meanings of the word. So I'll call them after that. And I'll call them this and that and the other, because these are your words from the New Testament. So I'll call mine the same title. I'll call mine church. You want to call yours bride? I'll call mine bride. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. But the church ain't the church. And the church ain't the church. But the church is the church. Now you folks that ain't seeing this on video, you're probably thinking, what in the world is going on? The church ain't the church. They can take our church building, we can meet in the barn. or meet in your basement somewhere. Who knows what they'll do? Let them do it. That's what it takes to bring us right on close to it. So be it. Wherever we are, we'll turn it into an assembly place of the house of God. Why? Because whether two or three are gathered together, that could not happen so much in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it had to be in one place. But in the New Testament, you are the place. Oh, glory to God. So whether we gather here, or we're in an auditorium, or we're in a storefront, or a schoolhouse, He will meet with us. Why? Because the church brings His presence. Oh my, notice this. He goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore you can see, there you can see rather, that though man was of the old order or creation, now in union with Christ, he has become the new creation of God. Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship created in union with Christ Jesus on the good works. Ephesians 4:24, that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Can I read some more? Thank you. Look, friends, I realize a lot of message folks don't want quotes no more. You'd be surprised. I went to some assemblies and it'd been that far away that I've asked if it was all right if I read quotes. And I'm going to tell you one thing. When you folks get to where you don't want to hear this, it's time for me to move somewhere else. I'm not a secret believer of this message. I believe it, I read it, I quote it. This new creation of God is not the old creation made over. Or it could not be called a new creation. That is exactly what it says it is. New creation. It is another creation distinct from the old one. Amen. No longer is he dealing by the ways of the flesh. That was how he dealt with Israel. He chose Abraham out of Abraham's issues through the godly Isaac line. But now out of every kindred, amen, tribe and nation, he has purposed a new creation. He is the first. Oh, glory to God. He is the first of that creation. He was God created in the form of man. Praise be to God. God created in the form of man. What was Adam in the Garden of Eden? Man created in the form of God. And what's God doing? He's turning it right around. Now he becomes God created in the form of man. The second Adam. Now by His Spirit, He is, here goes the builder, He is creating. Lord, children, do you realize what happened to you when you got born again? The creator of Genesis 1 was creating in you. I believe He's still doing it tonight. I believe He's taking His word and revelation by revelation. When you're sick and the Spirit of God comes and drops that in your heart, you understand what that was? That was a little touch of a body change. When God produces a divine healing and a headache leaves your body, that's a little bit of the body change you're going to experience after a while. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be the Lord. He is the first of that creation. He was God created in the form of a man. Now by His Spirit, He is creating many sons unto Himself. God the Creator creating Himself apart of His creation. Oh my goodness. Down from His glory. It's just more than our language can be able to comprehend. Why would He want to come down this way? It's part of His great work of condescension. This is the true revelation of God. This was His purpose. This purpose took form through bleep. And this is why. And this is why He could look down to the last stage when all would be over. Hallelujah. And see Himself in the midst of the. Children. You believe what you want to. I believe the Lord God back in eternity looked down through time and saw himself, Brother Darrell, in our midst tonight. Or wherever you go to church at. I believe he saw every true member of that body. Every true church. Not those that go by the title, but everyone. And he saw himself still there. The builder. The architect. Amen. He could stand right here before it's ever built and say, on this rock, I'll build my church. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you how long it'll live. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Trouble will come, tribulation will come, Nero will come and Nero will go. Caesar Augustus will come and he will go. Amen. The tribulation will come and it will go, but the church will live on because it's built by God himself. Praise God. Oh, my, he could look right down to the last age when all would be over and see himself still in the midst of the church as the author of this new creation of God. His sovereign power brought it to pass. Oh, my goodness, don't tell me he left out your works. Oh, left out your free will. Lord, have mercy. Well, I can't believe they would leave this in this church age book and leave that out, that God and you and God and me and God and you and God could only do so much, and then I had to pray and I had to do this and that and the other. No. No. I said our free moral agency is what got us in trouble. God's divine will is what got us out. Brother Donnie, don't you believe in free moral agency? I sure do. I'm still living with the results of some of my free moral agency. A preacher asked me not long ago, said, Brother Donnie, you believe in free moral agency? I said, I do. I believe I've got just as much free moral agency to choose whether or not I'm a son of God as Adam did. He like to fell off the seat where he was sitting. He grabbed up his pen, wrote down, and said, Lord, have mercy. I've never even thought of that before. I said, my brother, St. Kevin, how much choice did Adam have to be a son of God? Adam's free moral agency was not used to be a son of God. It was used to whether or not he is staying fellowship with God. Oh, it ain't based upon what I held under the horns of the altar. I pray, I read my Bible, I do this and that and the other. Nonsense. It is the sovereign election of God that calls his people and wrote your name on the palm of his hands. Can I go on? By his own decree, he elected the members of this new creation. He predestinated them to the adoption of children according to the good pleasure of their will, of his will, by his omniscience, omnipotence. He brought it to pass. How else could he know that he would be standing in the midst of the church receiving glory from his brethren? All glory! Receiving glory from his brethren. Do you see what we're coming to the house of God for? Oh, well, I just go because everybody else says, well, you need to get a revelation of why you're here. We're here to glorify Jesus Christ. He saw himself in our midst right here tonight on Wednesday night. He knew some of you would be tired. He knew you might be wore out. He knew some of you school children may feel really pressed for your time. But he also said, I see myself down yonder in Happy Valley. Hallelujah. And I want to come by. And I know my brothers are going to glorify me. What about it, brothers and sisters? Are we going to glorify him? Lord Jesus, how else could he know that he would be standing in the midst of the church receiving glory from his brethren? Boy, that's enough to make a a dry-eyed Baptist crying shout. That's enough to take a cucumber and turn it into a pickle. Woo! Amen! That's enough to take an old cucumber Baptist Methodist or a message cucumber and douse it down into the baptismal waters of eternal life until you are so transformed that the new creation begins to form inside of your soul and you become hooked up directly to the Father. To receive divine revelation. And what is the rapture? It's only the culmination of all these revelations you've been receiving all your life. Praise God. That quote is so good, I'm going to read it again. How else could he know that he would be standing in the midst of the church receiving glory from his brethren if he did not make sure? Come on, children, ain't none of our will sure enough. Oh, bless God, I'll tell you, when I make up my mind to do something, I'll get rid of that. Why don't you go ahead and confess it? You're like all the rest of us. You're ain't nothing but an old dish rag. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there would none of us be saved. There would none of us be persistent. It's not because of your great prayer life and your this and that and the other. You ain't nothing but a dirt bag. Stubborn, hard-headed, rebellious. But God down inside that dirt bag put a predestinated seed of life. And he said, I see myself in the midst of my brothers. I see myself in the midst of my brothers. When the church has put me out, the church has got me in. Oh, hallelujah. All things he knew. And all things he worked out. According to what he knew. In order that his purpose and good pleasure be brought to pass. You see, because it's this way. It's just as secure when I'm down as when I'm up. When it's this way, Brother Darrell, it's just as secure when we feel saved and when we don't feel saved. It don't matter. Glory to God. Ephesians 2:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of. Come on, you Armenians. This is the Bible. Hallelujah. He says, aren't you glad that you belong to him? This is the church that Jesus claims as his own. Now, as the church ages progress, we know according to the church age book, that he will address both groups and he will call them both church. But the church knows they're more than church. It's not church as usual. Well, let's all drink a little black coffee and let's have a little donuts and maybe we can have Dunkin' Donuts to come in and serve some of their special coffee. We don't have time for Dunkin' around here. We're too busy dunking folks up here. I don't want to dunk a donut. I want to dunk maybe some of you nuts and get you converted and get that work of the new creation started inside of you. I don't want no black coffee. I don't
want no mocha, no this and that and the other. We've not come here that we can have donuts together. We've not come that we can just fellowship with one another. We have come to glorify. Amen. We have come to glorify our King. He saw himself in our midst.
Now let's go back to this verse again, Matthew 16, 18. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Here Jesus presents the church as an edifice, a temple, a building, a house. He is the architect, the builder. And he also made all the material. Your human element, your human makeup that you're so proud that you think God's going to use. God ain't going to use that. That's what God's going to bring subject. God's going to use the material he made by the new creation in you. Oh, but God here, I'm a good guitar player, Lord. Now, I tell you what, God, I'm a good singer. I won a talent show, Lord, when I was in sixth grade. Now, Lord, I'll tell you one thing. I've got a good understanding of the word. I believe I could preach better than Brother Donnie. You know, I mean, Lord, you know I speak my words plain. You know, I've got a whole lot better English than Brother Donnie does. And Brother Donnie didn't graduate from high school, and you don't have much of an understanding. Now, Lord, if you'd use me, I'll tell you what, God, I'd do. God said trash, junk, belongs on the rubbish heap. I am what I want. I don't want your education. I don't want how smart you are. I don't want this and another. The material I want is what I've created in you. That's why he lets us go through trials and tests, so in order that our faith, our character, our virtue. Why, Brother Dale? That's the materials that he's building the church out of. He's building the church out of love, out of mercy, out of character that he himself molds inside of us. Brother Bram said, if there's one thing we've got to master, that is master the thought of human ability. The very thing that we think God wants, God said, I don't want that. Who told you that? I want the material I made. So the architect says, it's going to be a temple. It's going to be a house. It's going to be a city. It's going to be a light. It's going to be an edifice. It's going to be visible and invisible. It will be the pillar and ground of truth. That's what the church is. It's a house. It's a temple. Again, Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So it is a house. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. This is the church. The church is God's dwelling place. The church is God's temple. The church is God's house. Why do y'all come in here and sit down and read your Bible? Your brothers that wear hats, what do? Take them off out there. You watch your children. The deacons, if you go to moving around, the deacons say, shh, be quiet. The house of God. And that's true. But what about this house? Praise the Lord. When we all dismiss here in a few minutes and leave, we ain't going to leave the Spirit of God in this building. And if they come tomorrow to clean it, Brother Jim walks over here and then maybe walks in my desk there and gets something, and Brother Jim walks into the holy Shekinah presence of God. That's not the way it works. Amen. When you walk out of here, you take your lick of fire home with you. Glory. So the ecclesia is the house of God. Listen carefully. This is not the ecclesia. This sheetrock could have been used to make a honky tonk. This oak wood could have been used to make a brothel. This carpet could have been used on a dance floor. This organ could have wound up in a honky-tonk somewhere. This bass guitar, this piano, these drums. What makes it the house of God when us and him meet together? Praise be to God. Then this sheetrock, which come out of a sheetrock factory somewhere. This carpet, which come from Georgia. These speakers made by JBL. These old plastic Chinese trees. All the rest of this stuff in here from China. It becomes a hallowed place. Why? Because the presence of God. Don't you see your own body? When the power of God comes in you by new creation, it sanctifies this house. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So the house of God is the church? This? Now, if this is the house of God in a literal sense, God will be destroying his own house if he lets this burn up in tribulation period. And every church house will have to be saved. Every church house will be saved. Every church house. Every ecclesia house will be changed, saved. Oh Lord, children, it's not the sheetrock, it's not the carpet, it's not the paint, it's skin. God did not create himself when he comes and sin. God did not create himself and become sheetrock. God did not become walnut wood or oak or plastic flowers. God became flesh. Why? This is the new order. Deity living in humanity. That's the church. I want you to notice how Paul writes this, and I'll close momentarily. That thou oughtest to know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It does not say the church is built on the pillar and ground of truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Chew on it. Go ahead. Chew on it. Take your hands. Your Bible can't save anybody by itself. Your Bible ain't got no ears. Your Bible ain't got no mouth. Your Bible ain't got no legs. Your Bible ain't got no hands. Amen. How was it that they preached the gospel for 30 years before there was ever a written New Testament? First book to have was Corinthians or Galatians, written around AD 59. What did they preach? Let them take our tapes. Let them take our Bibles. Let them seize our iBooks. The Word is becoming flesh. Let them do whatever they want to do. We'll still preach the Word. We've got enough committed to memory. We can still preach a rapture. Amen. That's right. Why? Because it's not just in our memory. It's not just in our spirit. It's in our soul. And we are becoming what we are eating. Amen, church. Listen, I know the church of the living God, the ecclesia. Which was first? The Bible or the church? Think of it. He had you in his mind. You were expressed in logos form before there was ever one word written down in an Old Testament. The rapture isn't for message books. The rapture isn't for tapes. The rapture isn't for your Bible. What will happen when he comes and gets his bride? Your Bible will be left wherever you sit and read it. your iBook with all the messages there, your iPad, the message thing, whatever more. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to wait to prepare tape racks in heaven, and if I go away, I will come and again receive the tapes unto myself, that where I am, the tapes may be also. He didn't say, I'm going to wait to prepare book racks, and whenever I come and get you, be sure and bring your Bible now, because you can't go without the Bible. I agree with that. The Bible made flesh. What will happen to our Bibles that we love and read? They'll be burned up in atomic fire. But the Word made flesh cannot be destroyed. That's the church. It is the pillar and the ground of truth. But you see, the church is a city. It is a temple, it is a house, it is an edifice. But it is a city. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It is Zion. It is Jerusalem. It is the new Jerusalem. It is God's place of safety. It is God's place of healing. It is God's place of the miraculous. Come on, you going to preach with me? I thought I was about ready to stop. I believe I'm just getting my second wind. Amen. Boy, I don't understand. You know, it shows to me that people don't understand what the real church is. I'm convinced a lot of message folk don't understand what it is, an honor it is to come to the house of God and hear the Word of God in this hour preached with power. Not just a preacher standing reading a bunch of quotes and trying to memorize a bunch of quotes, but see that same living God, that book, that amen, that God of the book of Acts, living Himself out in His people, not just in the preacher, but in mamas and daddies and boys and girls. That's the church. It is Zion, it is Jerusalem. It is the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21:2, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It is a place of security. It's a fortress. It's a safe city of refuge. Psalms 48:1, a song and psalm for the sons of Korah. Wow. Imagine being kin to an old heathen infidel like Korah. Well, you say, I got some bad people in my family. They did too. Korah. But you know what? It proved. Their daddy went off the Word. Their grandpa, whatever more, they wasn't leaving the Word because he did. So them sons of Korah have psalms directed toward their identity. Amen. Your daddy might have been a Baptist, your mother, mama, a Methodist, or a Pentecostal, or whatever more. You might be a son of a Baptist preacher. You might be the son of a Pentecostal preacher, but it sure don't mean you got to be one. They might have been sons of Korah, but it don't mean they were Korah. A song and a psalm for the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Praise God. Look, friend, if you're sick tonight, you're weary, you need help, we're here. Boy, you sure are bragging. I am bragging. I'm bragging on Him who saw Himself in our midst. It ain't us. We ain't got nothing we could offer you. We'd be no more than any other church, but it's Him in our midst that makes the difference. Praise God. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. The church. Aren't you glad you're part of the church? Aren't you glad you're not part of the church? But you're part of the church. Glory to God. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell. Several words that's used to describe hell. Gehenna, Hades, Sheol. And this one is Hades, the place of the dead. The gates of hell. Hell will come against her. But the builder said, I want to let hell know. I ain't even built it yet, but I want hell to know. Devil, shoot all your arrows. Empty out all your guns. Dry fire all your cannons. And when you get done, she'll still be standing. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against her. I want to be part of that church. I believe I am, don't you? Praise God. Amen. A city gate to the Jew is what city hall would be to a Westerner in our thinking. Be like you going to the courthouse. You get license or marriage license or this or that or the other to some do some business transaction. But to the Old Testament people, it was the gate where the business was occupied. So Jesus spoke to Hades and said, just to give you a heads up, I ain't done it yet, but I'm fixing to conquer you. I'm fixing to go in you, and I'm going to do worse than Samson did. I ain't just going to pack them gates up on top of the hill. Glory to God. I'm going to annihilate them gates. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against my church. Friends, that is prophecy. Look. Look at the people who've come and gone. Look at the ages. Look at the moves that's tried to defy the church of the living God. The church still lives. And where are they? In Hades, the place of the dead. But the church lives on. I'm talking about the church in the book of Revelation. She's built on a rock, on a firm foundation. She's been through the flood. She's been through the fire. And one of these days, she's going to move up high. Oh, glory! Hallelujah! Oh, you may be facing things and people may try to destroy you. People may try to destroy our church and try to destroy our message. You can just as easy destroy the sun. You can just as easy destroy the moon or just as easy destroy God because we are part of God. Oh my, you can't destroy it. You cannot stop it. It will go on. Why? The builder said so. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Wow. I don't know what you think, but I think this is going to be a good little series. Praise God. Let's sing it, Harry. I've got a bunch more pages in you, and I'm shutting this right now. We got a brother that's wanting to be rebaptized tonight. We want him to come prepare for that. Church that Jesus calls as his own is Mark 16 in action. Mark 16 in action is not baptizing people in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Praise God. It ain't wishing them well and giving them a Bayer or an Excedrin or a Tylenol PM. It's laying hands on them and casting out devils and healing the sick. That's the church Jesus claims as his own. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Sing it, Harry. Let's just worship the Lord a little bit while they prepare, can we? Praise the Lord.
Ship
of oh, yes, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's
the hope
for the lost. For the lost. And
amen. Amen, Lord.
It's a soul.
It's a soul.
Saving state.
How many knows you found it that way? Amen.
It's the joy.
Yes, Lord.
Of my salvation.
Glory to God. Listen now what you are.
Well, it's the church.
Hallelujah.
Triumphant. And his victory.
Oh, yes. Amen.
By the hand of the Lord.
By the hand of the Lord. By the hand of the Lord. No angels, no cherubims, no seraphims. By the hand of the Lord. By the hand of the Lord. Brother Donnie, what about preachers? By the hand of the Lord. I'm talking about the church in the book of Revelation. It's built on the rock, got a firm foundation. It's been through the fire, and you've been through the fire, girl, one of these days. The book of Revelation. She's built on the rock of Revelation. Who Jesus is. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We welcome you here tonight, Lord God. We come to magnify your name, Lord. Hallelujah.
This revelation. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful aspect. It's actually a secret kingdom, if you will, but I'm glad to be part of it. I'm glad we're born into the mystical body. Of course, this is Brother Ben. We've known each other about 10 or 11 years since he was just a little bitty fellow when we moved down here, but we got to work quite a bit together the last couple of years, and I've watched Ben grow, and he's gotten married, and responsibilities, and different things that come, and you know, just a little, sometimes you get a little hardship, a little knock, and a little bruise, a little here, but you know, I've seen a lot of maturity in Ben, and I love him. We've come real close, and I appreciate my little brother here. So he wants to do his first works over. He got baptized many, many years ago. I actually thought Jack was going to baptize him, but he said, no, you're going to do it. I said, well, praise the Lord. And so it's a privilege to baptize Ben again in the name of the Lord Jesus. He just, you know, Brother Ben said, you know, if there's anything that would, about being rebaptized, you know, yeah, he was baptized once in the name of the Lord Jesus, but if there's anything that would hinder your faith, you know, years ago, maybe this happened, that happened, if it would hinder your faith, do it again. So we don't want anything to hinder our faith, because remember, faith is a revelation. It's going to take more faith to get us out of here, because it's going to be rapture in faith. So we don't want anything to hinder our faith. Amen. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for this privilege and opportunity, Lord, to obey, Lord, one of the three physical divine ordinances you gave us, Lord, that is water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he did that many years ago, but Lord, he wants to renew his commitment and his devotion and his life and his fervency and his passion all to you. And he wants to make it public that this is his desire. He wants to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, because after all, we realize that water baptism, of course, it's a commandment, but it's an outward show of an inward work, showing that something has really taken place in his heart. We appreciate that, Lord. Now, Father, I just pray that you'll bless him. Give him grace, Lord. Let him grow with the admonition of God. Lord, and as he just gets close to you, being filled, refilled, wherever he might be in that aspect, God, you know all about it. We commit it into your hands. Lord, we'll baptize him in the name. You help him. Be with his wife, his family, Lord, and may they grow in grace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Ben, upon the confession of your faith, you can hold your nose now. I don't want you to drown. I baptize you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What a wonderful name it is. Oh, my goodness, friends, we've seen it for years and years and years, and I hope it don't become common to us. But can you imagine just what we saw right there? That was lost for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. They would bring the little babies up to some priest somewhere, and he'd have a little bit of water, and it'd dripple off of their head, and then the people get saved, and they'd come be baptized in titles. But the evening light come to return the name back to the body, so the city could have the right name, so the temple, the tabernacle, could have the right name. Glory to God. What a wonderful name it is. Don't you love it? Don't you love that name? I love it. Praise God. It's not only his name, it's our name. We're called by that name. All the family in heaven and earth is called by that name. We'll sing that as we go, Harry. God bless you, saints. Been good to be in the house of the Lord. Eh? What a wonderful name it is. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. As we sing it together, you can be dismissed.
You were the Word in the beginning.
Yes, Lord.
One with God, the Lord Most High.
Hallelujah.
Your hidden glory in creation.
Now revealed. Our anointed one.
What a beautiful name is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ.
You saw yourself here tonight, Lord.
What a beautiful name.
You saw us singing. Lord God, hallelujah, receive the glory from your brothers. Glory to God. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
You didn't want heaven without us.
Thank you, Father.
Can we sing it together as we go? What a powerful name it is. Powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. Not the second person of the Godhead, but the Godhead. Amen. The first and the last. Amen. Oh, Jesus. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing can compare. Nothing. No name. No church. Nothing. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, may depression leave your people. May sickness leave them. May heartaches. May financial burdens. May marriage problems. May demons bow to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We call your mighty name tonight, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, if a great many years ago, a baby which was born, he was bad in his mother's womb, hadn't been born yet, and he was dead. Yet his mother mentioned his name, and that baby jumped to life. What ought it to do to a church of the living God? A church that is born again of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, 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 our life giver. Jesus, our
it on my heart. Go in the fear of God.
The name of Jesus.
What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever our God reigns. Yours is the King. Yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name.